David Sloan is my name. I'm Principal Agronomist with AquaSpy, which, as you may note from the program, listed as AgriLink. Up until 2 months ago, the company name was AgriLink International. So to avoid any confusion for those people that may know us through a previous company name. I'd like to take you on a bit of a journey for two extremes on people who are using capacitance probes to great effect to improve their water use efficiency and profitability. The first case study I'd like to take you through is 3 years worth of data from a small grower, single 80 acre pivot. He's a mixed farmer. He's been growing corn up until he started growing cotton 3 years ago. He was growing corn for about 6 or 7 years prior to that. He pumps groundwater and he just has a single probe. Contrasted to that is a very large farm run on a very professional basis with an in-house agronomy team. 16,000 acres of furrow irrigated cotton, and with the drought in Australia, that got cut back in the third year of data that I'll be showing to about 7,000 acres. They've since dropped to about zero, and has on-farm water storage and about 50 probes to manage their operation. Just to put people in the picture, what I'm talking about here is a capacitance probe. It's an electronic sensor which has a series of sensors. It's an electronic array that has a series of capacitance sensors every 4 inches down the probe, and so we connect that to a logger with telemetry, and we get a every 15 minutes it logs data at multiple levels in the root zone, and through that we can actually watch the plant drinking. And really it's a paradigm shift that people have made, and in going from neutron probe-based deficit-style irrigation to really a responding to the plant type irrigation schedule, whereby with a lot of the graphs I'll show you, we can actually visualise water use through this series of stepping, whereby during the day it steps down, during the night there is no water use, during the day it steps down, during the night there's no water use, etc. And we can actually see on a relative basis how much water the plant is using on each day relative to the other days in that that data set. And so we can see whether the plant is speeding up, slowing down. We can also look at this on a layer-by-layer basis through the soil. And through that, the plant tells us the zone of moisture that it is happiest operating in, and then we can respond to that. So in terms of setting full and refill points or deficits, it's very much plant-based. And so it's a very much a shift to plant-based irrigation scheduling. So if we have a look at this graph, which is what we call a separate layer graph, there are 10 coloured lines there representing each of those sensors at 4-inch depths. And so 10 centimetres, 20 centimetres, we're going down 4 inches, 8 inches, 12 inches, 16 inches and so on down through the soil. And what we can see is those characteristic steps. And we can also see when the line is flat, there is no root activity at a certain depth until it starts to step down. So we can actually visualise when the roots get to a certain level and how active they are at that level. And so what this grower was able to do was respond to rainfall, set the crop up, I guess, as I'll show you through a series of three very different seasons, able to come up with an irrigation strategy whereby it was trying to set the crop up, treat it a little bit harsh early on, then catch up, fill up the soil profile again, and so that you've got a lot of stored soil moisture there for grain or for bowl filling later on. And so in this situation, was able to capitalise on early season storms, two large rainfall events, two fronts that dropped about 4 inches of rain each. And ordinarily, he would have started irrigating back in this period through here, didn't start irrigating until probably a third of the way through the season, as would normally be the case. And because he was trying to get the roots to a down to depth, and could also was watching, contrasting what the plant was doing in terms of how fast it was growing, was it being constrained versus the long-term weather forecast, trying to capitalise on that. And later in the season, we can see he knew that the plant would outrun his centre pivot, so he needed to have moisture there. And when you look at this on a summed graph, adding all those sensors together, we can see, think of this a bit like a gas gauge in your vehicle, we can see that the effect that these rainfall events, these summer storms had, in terms of refilling the profile. And if he had started irrigating and that rain fell on that wet soil, then it would have caused waterlogging, it would have run off, it wouldn't have had the value of that rain, wouldn't have captured that. And because he was able to do that, got a real yield benefit, but also was able to set up the plant in terms of its root system. Went through a period where he was trying to, he knew how wet the soil could be, was trying to maintain that that soil moisture conditions. And then, as I said earlier, the plant water demand outstripped his ability to supply, to keep up, and it starts to dry down, but he's got that in reserve. And so he's able to work out when to start irrigating, how much to apply through the season, and then also time the final irrigation. If we have a look at the yield results, this was his first season of growing cotton. He forecast a 3.3 bale yield. That was what he was aiming for. He came in almost a full bale above that, and he also used 30% less water than what he had in his plan. And so needless to say, he was very happy. But not to be outdone, the following season, we can see that he started with dry subsoil. The reason I know that is because when we install this equipment, we install it into a slurry in the we auger a hole, mix up a mud slurry and install it. And we can see the probe has dried down to the ambient soil moisture conditions, which is much drier than the when the probe was installed. And so straight away he knows that there's not a lot of subsoil moisture. And so we can see that early on trying to push the roots down, but what actually happened is trying to set up the crop and respond to, well, catch those early season storms, but then it's very quickly tries to fill the profile again. So before the plant demand outstrips the ability to supply with the centre pivot, he's actually trying to get ahead of it and fill it back up again so that he can maintain the regime for as much as possible, and then he's got a full profile to finish on. And so it's dry down for harvest. If you have a look at the yield was very much the same, but he actually, and so was the water use, so he was able to learn from year one and repeat it in year two. And in year three, started once again with dry subsoil, but had a strategy where he was irrigating, started irrigating early because it was warmer, a much warmer and drier season, was irrigating, but was deficit irrigating. And so was irrigating little and often at the start, so he's still trying to put that stress on the plant to set it up. But then once he'd set up the plant, he then increased the irrigation, tried to bring it back up to a full profile again so that you've got that reserve to finish on. And so the little and often, and then the increased irrigation to try and play catch up so that he's got something in reserve to finish the crop on. And what actually happened by having that, I guess, that deficit style irrigation was that the crop was still going looking for that moisture. He was still setting it up so he's got a nice deep root system to carry him through right to the end. And actually managed to get quite a significant yield increase, used slightly more water because it was a drier year, but his water use figures are outstanding in terms of bales per megalitre used. It's way above the industry standard. If I then look at the big farm, Ketar, start off with what they achieved in terms of, we can see that compared to the district average, they for the 3 years once they started using this equipment, they started to make some gains. And what I want to do is help you understand what it is that they did to with this type of equipment to get ahead. And it's really a case of integrating some different bits of technology. And what's the secret? Well, it's changing the way they irrigated. There's a lot of things they did in terms of surging water, cutting down run lengths, things like that, but also a heavy emphasis on getting the water on at the right time and in the right amounts. And the putting the probe, they found out, I guess, the hard way about probe placement, and that is that the first year they put out 50 probes, they got the yield information from yield maps, and the highest yielding part of every field was the part around where the probe site was. So it was telling them that they knew how to irrigate using the plant-based scheduling, but quite often that area around the probe was very, very small, and so they were actually they had the probe in the wrong spot. And so what they did is they looked around for all the data they had available and used that wisely in terms of spatial information, but also put a lot of footprints in the paddock. It was a case of water is gold, use it wisely. They really were trying to push every last, or push the crop to extract every last bit of moisture out of the soil, and but not push it so far that it cut out. In terms of probe placement, things they had available were EM surveys, electromagnetic resonance surveys, to identify soil type. And so what they wanted to do was, what they did, was not put the probe in a light soil, in a sandy soil, because then that would dry out more quickly and you would tend to over-irrigate, because the schedule would call for irrigation when the rest of it, the soil is still has adequate soil moisture. Don't put it in a heavy soil, because that way the probe will be saying don't irrigate when the rest of the field is dry. So soil type was a key factor. Also elevation, similar reasoning applies. If you put it on a ridge, what they had was auto steering on this farm, and got the elevation maps from the GPS unit, which are good to about an inch vertically, and plotted that out and tried to find somewhere on the perfect plane. So where the median soil type and the median elevation overlapped, that's where they could put the probe and then put it in the leading set, etc. So what they also did with their irrigation strategy is that they kept the foot to the gas pedal, I suppose you could say, and that is tried to keep the crop going as a biological pump, if you like. And I'd caution to say that it doesn't work for everywhere. This is a furrow irrigated site on a heavy soil, and so they've worked out how to do it on their farm. So I'm not advocating a strategy, but just how people have adapted their particular farming system based on information from capacitance probes to great effect. But really what they're doing is keeping that plant active all the way through. And so it's the comment that came back from this the lead agronomist there was, the less water I put on, the more cotton I grow. And that's true up to a point. And so they were putting on too much water, and they've backed off to a point where they're really forcing the plant to go looking for it. Finally balanced thing, and that's why they need a lot of footprints in the paddock. They need to get out there and scout the fields. But the old strategy was based on a deficit. They'd dry it to a certain point, run with the deficit, and didn't access as much soil moisture. And the plant, I guess, was a little bit lazy in that scenario, because it wasn't really... Well, by not putting its roots down, it was more prone to waterlogging as well, and a furrow setup. How do you know you got the probe placement right? Well, when you graph out the soil type versus the average yield, it was a nice shaped curve. So if they put it in any heavier or any lighter, then they would have actually got a lower yield. So that was great. When they knew they got it wrong, this probe was placed in too heavy a soil type, because what that's saying is that the yields were higher on the heavier soils that had greater soil moisture holding capacity. So therefore, they needed to put it in a lighter soil type and irrigate a little bit more, so that it favoured the drier soil, the lighter soil types for that field. Water is gold, as I said before. They start with it's on-farm storage, so they can see it sitting there, and it's all about converting that into money, and that's where the whole profitability angle comes in. And so they very much look at the water use in terms of conversion efficiency. And probes are used very much just as a risk management tool to stay on track, set up a template and stick with it. And so we can see here that there's been vast improvements in water use efficiency. And the district average is probably around that one bale per megalitre. And they're now 50% above that, and pushing hard. They're sort of wondering how far they can go. But as I said, the less water you use, the more cotton you grow. There's a synergistic effect, and the net returns, excuse me, actually more than doubled over those 3 years. So what they found is their inputs were lower, they were growing, their yields went up, and they actually made a lot more money. So converting that water into money was, they're on the right track. And it's very much all about understanding what's happening in the field and giving the plant what it needs. So, it's all about responding to the plant and getting that comfort and clarity in decision-making. Remote access to data is fantastic for busy people, and it's about using less water to improve profitability. So thank you very much.
Have time for maybe one question before we move on. Okay, thank you.